call the meeting back into order. So before I read the chair statement, I just want to explain a little bit. There are a few extra people who have joined the front table, particularly those two over there, who are Doug Smith and Richard Booth. Whenever we have administrative civil liability proceedings in front of this board, the staff divides into two groups. One group works on developing the prosecution, and the other group advises the board. So Mr. Smith and Mr. Booth and Ms. Niemeyer are our technical and legal advisors on this, and it seems very complicated and overwhelming from your vantage point, I'm sure, but it's a good thing, really, because it results in the process being more fair, I think, than when we didn't split the staff this way. So this is now the time for item number 14, which is a public hearing for consideration of an administrative civil liability for Mark Johnson for violating a cease and desist order in the Spalding Tract subdivision in Lassen County. The board could proceed with separate hearing for the next item, item 15. The order of presentation for the hearing will be first testimony by the Water Board prosecution team, then testimony by the discharger, that would be Mark Johnson, then followed by presentations by any interested parties who are here. All persons who wish to participate who have not yet submitted an appearance card, this is an appearance card, and you'll find them on the back table. Please submit an appearance card and note the item on which you wish to speak, which would be item 14 in this case. This hearing will not be conducted according to the technical rules of evidence. The board will submit any testimony that is reasonably relevant to the matter under consideration. The chair may impose reasonable time limits and may require a group of people to choose a single spokesperson. We ask each person testifying to come before the lectern to speak, and please begin by stating your name, address, and whom you represent. So all persons who expect to testify on this item, please stand and raise your right hand now and take the following oath. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony which you will give in this matter is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Would this now be the time to consider whether to accept late evidence?
Patty already had told the parties that she was going to accept that evidence.
Okay. The chair needs to do that.
Thank you.
Well, you can make a go ahead.
Well, I just want to know what the procedure is. In the past, it's always been the chair who made that decision.
Patty had done so that people would know in advance whether or not that information was going to come in. And so often we do that in advance.
And we have on previous cases to allow people to know beforehand that they should listen to them.
All right, so now I will call for testimony from the Water Board prosecution team.
Excuse me?
Prosecution team.
Okay, let's see her.
Okay.
And this counts, right?
Yes.
Whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Good morning, board members, ladies and gentlemen.
Did everyone hear her?
I'm Lisa Scarelli, an engineering geologist with your Enforcement and Special Projects Unit, and I have taken the oath. I'm here today to talk about the proposed administrative civil liability for Mr. Mark Johnson, owner of Lassen County Assessor's Parcel Number 077-351-2711, located in the Spalding Tract Subdivision at Eagle Lake. Before I go any further, I'd like to have entered into the record the Lahontan Water Board files referenced in the board agenda package and the prosecution team's presentation that is to follow. Okay, this is an overview of the topics that I'll be discussing today. I'll start with a brief history regarding Spalding Tract and the Lahontan basin plan prohibition for the Eagle Lake Basin. I'll briefly talk about the evidence of violation and the Water Board's progressive enforcement actions attempting to bring the property owner into compliance with the basin plan prohibition. Then I'll discuss the ACL complaint issued to Mr. Johnson and the methodology the prosecution team used to determine the proposed liability, and last, staff's recommendation to the board. Spalding Tract Subdivision is located on the west shore of Eagle Lake, approximately 20 miles northwest of Susanville. In 1984, the Lahontan Water Board adopted a prohibition against discharging waste-containing nutrients from the Stones Vanguard and Spalding Tract subdivisions to surface waters and groundwater in the Eagle Lake Basin. Reports such as those excerpted in attachments G and H of the complaint describe the nutrient loadings associated with waste discharges from individual wastewater disposal systems and their potential eutrophic effects upon Eagle Lake, which threatened the lake's beneficial uses and created the need for the prohibition. The prohibition required compliance by September of 1989. Since that time, Water Board staff has engaged in progressive enforcement actions in an ongoing effort to bring properties with individual wastewater disposal systems into compliance with the prohibition. Beginning in 1991, the Water Board issued cease and desist orders to over 600 property owners in the Spalding Tract subdivision. The 1991 CDOs required compliance by September 1993. However, at that time, there was no available means to comply. The Spalding Community Services District's wastewater disposal system became operational in October 2007, thus giving property owners a readily available means by which to comply. In June 2008, the Water Board issued 13267 letters to property owners that continued to violate the basin plan prohibition. The letter informed property owners of the available means to comply and the potential consequences for failing to do so. Mr. Johnson was sent one of these letters, however, it is unknown whether he received it. By late 2009, about 500 properties have come into compliance. Since then, Water Board staff has initiated a combination of progressive enforcement actions in an effort to bring the remaining non-compliant property owners into compliance. As a result of these enforcement actions, all but about 10 properties in the Spalding Tract have been brought into compliance with the basin plan prohibition. Mr. Johnson owns one of the remaining non-compliant properties. Our evidence that Mr. Johnson owns one of the remaining non-compliant properties includes Lassen County records showing Mr. Johnson's property has an on-site wastewater disposal system. Our evidence also includes Spalding Community Services District records that show Mr. Johnson's septic system has not been connected to the district's wastewater system. And finally, Lassen County has no records documenting that Mr. Johnson's septic system has been abandoned in accordance with Lassen County regulations. Therefore, Mr. Johnson has an on-site wastewater disposal system on his Spalding Tract property that is capable of discharging waste-containing nutrients to the groundwater in the Eagle Lake Basin in violation of the prohibition. As stated earlier, Water Board staff attempted to send Mr. Johnson a 13267 letter in June 2008. In 2009, Water Board staff attempted to issue him a cease and desist order. However, we were unsuccessful due to service-related challenges. In September 2011, this board adopted a cease and desist order requiring Mr. Johnson to bring his on-site wastewater disposal system into compliance by November 10, 2011. In July 2013, staff issued a notice of violation, which was properly served. The NOV stated that if Mr. Johnson failed to comply by November, an administrative civil liability complaint would be issued. And on November 19, 2013, staff issued ACL complaint number R6T-2013-0093, which is before you today. There are several facts staff is asking you to consider when making your decision. The district system has been operational since October 2007. The prosecution team has given Mr. Johnson ample time and notice to comply. Mr. Johnson has now had 6 complete construction seasons to bring his property into compliance. County records in our files indicate an abandonment permit application was completed in 2009, but Lassen County and Lahontan have no record of a septic system being abandoned. In our notices, we have informed Mr. Johnson of the potential and imminent consequences of continued noncompliance. Water Board staff was contacted by Mr. Johnson's nephew. Following the issuance of the July 2013 notice of violation. During the conversation, staff clearly explained to Mr. Johnson's nephew that there was no documentation that the septic system had been connected or abandoned and that such documentation had to be produced to verify compliance. Unfortunately, staff did not receive any such documentation. And as I said, on November 19th, the prosecution team issued the complaint to further the Water Board's overall mission of protecting water quality by taking additional enforcement action to bring all properties in the Eagle Lake Basin into compliance with this board's prohibition. Since issuing the complaint, the prosecution team has reached out to Mr. Johnson and his nephew, encouraging them to comply. Unfortunately, Mr. Johnson has yet to do so. The complaint outlines Water Board staff's efforts to motivate Mr. Johnson to bring his property into compliance. The complaint presents the prosecution team's evidence of the violation of the cease and desist order, a comprehensive discussion of the State Water Board's administrative civil liability methodology, and how the prosecution team used the methodology to determine the liability amount proposed in the complaint. The ACL methodology was applied in accordance with State Water Resources Control Board's enforcement policy dated May 20, 2010. The detailed discussion of the methodology that was applied in this case is provided in Attachment C to the complaint and in Attachment A to the proposed order. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over each step of the methodology, as in large part it follows the same approach that we used in the last set of ACL complaints in 2012. This approach was also largely accepted by the board in its 2012 ACL orders for 8 Spalding Tract property owners. There is one significant change from our 2012 approach, and that's what I'd like to focus the next few minutes upon. In 2012, and in the ACL complaint before you today, the methodology produces a total base liability amount through step 5 of $160,000. This was considered by the prosecution team to be excessive based upon the available information and factors. The liability allows the application of other factors such as ability to pay and other matters as justice may require. Applying these factors produced a proposed liability of $12,200. There are 2 conditions I want to point out here. First, the prosecution team has been consistently following its 2012 methodology approach through this point in its current analysis. That approach includes developing a reduced violation period from July 3rd, 2013 through November 1st, 2013. That is the 122-day period between the date the prosecution team issued the notice of violation and the date the prosecution team drafted the complaint. Using the statutory minimum liability rate of $100 per day of violation gives us the $12,200 liability amount. The second issue is that the methodology and law require the prosecution team and Water Board, with one exception, to apply the statutory minimum liability rate of $100 per day of violation to the entire violation period, which began the day after the CDO's November 10, 2011 compliance date and totals 722 days through November 1, 2013. The exception that the Water Board can impose a liability less than the statutory minimum, 72 $1,200. If the board makes expressed findings regarding the factors it must consider when issuing an administrative civil liability. Such findings related to property values and consistency with the board's past actions for the same type of violation in the Eagle Lake Basin and are included in both the complaint and the proposed order. So at this point in the methodology, the prosecution team is comparing the $12,200 liability to the Water Board's decisions in the 2012 Spalding Track ACL complaints. The prosecution team concluded that $12,200 was still excessive in light of the Water Board's 2012 decisions. So the prosecution team included the Water Board's 2012 decisions for the same type of violation in the Eagle Lake Basin into the methodology. A quick review of the board's past ACL decisions in the Eagle Lake Basin shows the following. In 1997, the board adopted two ACL orders in the amount of $6,500 for property owners that had not initiated any compliance activities until after the ACL order was adopted. In 2012, there was a variety of conditions the board addressed. The results were liabilities of a little over $100 imposed for those owners that complied prior to the first hearing. The liability increased to a little over $200 for owners that complied between the July and October hearings. Then liabilities of $430 were imposed against an owner that initiated compliance activities but did not complete them prior to the second hearing. And finally, liabilities of $1,749 were imposed for an owner that did not initiate compliance activities until after the second hearing was completed. It's important to note that this last owner had already brought four of six properties into compliance and had verbally indicated to staff plans to bring the remaining two properties into compliance. The prosecution team is recommending that a liability of $3,050 be imposed against Mr. Johnson. This liability amount is more consistent with the board's 1997 and 2012 decisions regarding non-compliant property owners. The liability amount was determined by taking the reduced violation period of 122 days and multiplying it by $25 per day of violation, or one quarter of the statutory minimum liability rate of $100 per day. The prosecution team believes that this liability amount is more in line with the Water Board's 2012 decision for the non-compliant owner. The prosecution team believes that the board can justify a liability amount greater than its 2012 action based upon the additional time Mr. Johnson has had to comply, the extent of previous Water Board and staff enforcement efforts, the advance notice of the prosecution team's intent to issue the complaint, and the overall lack of response from Mr. Johnson, in spite of the prosecution team's outreach to him. An important difference between the 2012 non-compliant owner and Mr. Johnson is that Mr. Johnson has not shown any intent to comply, unlike the 2012 situation where the owner had already brought four or six properties into compliance. Now, as some of the property owners did in 2012, Mr. Johnson has provided the prosecution team with reasons for his non-compliance. Even though Mr. Johnson has not provided you with this information as required by the hearing procedures, the prosecution team wants you to have the full picture to base your decision upon. I was able to contact Mr. Johnson by phone after the complaint was issued. Mr. Johnson shared with me that he had thought the county had taken the property and auctioned it off for back taxes, but recently discovered that the auction was unsuccessful and that he still owned the property. Mr. Johnson also shared his idea of selling the property to a neighbor for a dollar just to be done with the situation. And finally, Mr. Johnson told me that he has been experiencing health problems, another contributing factor to his inability to bring the property into compliance. Mr. Johnson told me he could not be here today because of a previously scheduled health-related appointment. You have also been provided an email string documenting conversations between me and Mr. Johnson's nephew, Jacob. The information provided in the emails further describes the reasons for noncompliance and also shows some of the outreach staff has provided. The prosecution team has recommended a liability of $3,050. This essentially results from application of the reduced number of days of violation at 122, consistent with the 2012 complaints, but at $25 per day, or one quarter of the statutory minimum. As required by the Water Code, express findings are provided in both the complaint and the proposed order, justifying a liability less than the statutory minimum of $72,200. This slide shows steps 8 through 10 of the enforcement policy. The policy requires that the board consider the economic benefit of noncompliance. Gerald Horner, the state board economist, calculated the economic benefit of delaying connecting of the septic system on the property to the community wastewater system. That was included as attachment E of the complaint. Mr. Horner recalculated the economic benefit using today's date as the date of payment rather than 30 days from today as was applied in the original economic benefit determination. This yielded a slightly revised economic benefit for the delayed cost to connect at $530. Thus, the economic benefit plus 10% is revised to $583. Should you adopt an order today, this would need to be edited in attachment A to the proposed ACL order. The remainder of this slide provides the maximum and minimum fines in this case per the methodology and the final proposed liability of $3,050. So that provides you with the full picture of what's gone into developing the complaint and the proposed ACL order. The complaint was issued under Water Code Section 13350. This code section gives the board the authority to impose administrative civil liabilities under specified conditions. In this case, the violation of a CDO requirement is subject to liability under Section 13350. The same Water Code section also identifies maximum and minimum liabilities and the conditions under which the Water Board may impose liabilities less than the statutory minimum. So, as I said, the proposed ACL order, as did the complaint, includes the express findings necessary to impose a liability less than the statutory minimum. Therefore, the Water Board has the authority to impose the recommended liability. The State Board's enforcement policy promotes fair and consistent enforcement. We have seen no real effort towards compliance by Mr. Johnson in spite of ample notice, outreach, and time. Some amount of liability is warranted in fairness to the over 600 property owners that have complied in response to less enforcement. Some amount of liability is also justified and appropriate from a point of consistency with past board actions, such as the liabilities imposed for similar types of situations involving noncompliant property owners in 2012. And finally, some amount of liability is necessary to assist staff in bringing the remaining 10 or so property owners that have yet to comply into compliance as efficiently as possible. We've seen our NOVs expressing our intent to issue ACL complaints be very effective since this board adopted the ACL orders for Spalding Tract property owners in 2012. We understand that there are extenuating circumstances, and compliance is not always easy in a lot of these situations. However, we are aware that it wasn't easy for the 600-plus property owners that have complied. Out of fairness to them and to assist your staff in efficiently bringing the remaining 10 or so noncompliant property owners into compliance, the prosecution team is asking that some amount of liability be imposed. We continue to recommend that liability amount be $3,050. So this concludes my presentation. I'll leave you with this slide to consider while you evaluate this challenging situation. The prosecution team is available to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. Mr. Jardine, do you have any
questions?
Ms. Cox?
What would it cost to connect to the sewer system?
We did an assessment for the 2012 ACL complaints. We subpoenaed the contractors in the area that did this type of work, and we compiled that data and estimated average costs to either connect or to abandon. And we determined that the average cost to abandon was $836, and the average cost to connect was $4,210. And we used that information in the economic benefit assessment.
Is this his primary residence?
It is not.
Mr. Sandel?
No questions.
I just had a question about the 122 days. So was the starting day for that the day service was sent, or was it the date service was received?
It was the date of the letter that went out.
Do you know the date the service was received?
I'd have to check the file for the exact date. I believe we serviced him. We processed, served him. And it would have been probably within a couple of weeks. Scott probably can get
that
information.
Yeah,
we
can
I
get
would
the
like
date.
To know.
Yeah.
All right.
That date.
Was the was it just the NOV that was process served, or was the CBO also process served?
Both documents.
Any other questions for the prosecution team?
Yes. Ms. Sorelli, what structures are on the property right now, and do you know if they're being used?
Yes, I believe there is one structure on the property, and I don't believe it's being used. According to his nephew, I don't think he's really used it much in quite some time.
And so that structure has a bathroom in it? Okay.
Yeah, it's my understanding that it's a little
more
structure. Yeah.
Have
Which
you been
could be anything from a home to a trailer.
Okay. Have you visited the property yourself?
I have not. I've been to Spalding Track, but I have not gone specifically to view this parcel.
Okay. One other question, kind of two parts on it. So you referenced in your presentation that back in October 12th, the board had imposed liability to Mr. Neal, who had the two properties at that time did not bring those properties into compliance. So my question is, has he complied, and if so, when did he do that? And then I've got another related question.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Neal did comply, and as did all the 2012 ACL order recipients, and they all have subsequently paid their fines.
Okay.
So all are in compliance.
So how approximately how long after the ACL adoption did those properties, and it was basically Nanco and Neal?
Yes, and I don't have those specific dates, but I believe it was within probably a month to 2 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was reasonable.
That's fine. Thank you. No more questions.
I have one other question, which is you said that Mr. Johnson had applied to abandon his subject?
Yes, he submitted an application to abandon the septic tank in 2009 and did not follow through with actually performing the abandonment.
So I'm just wondering, that sounds to me like an action taken to comply. I mean, mm-hmm. It doesn't sound to me like the prosecution team took that into consideration in developing the proposed amount. I'm just wondering why.
Scott Ferguson, Senior Water Resource Control Engineer with the Lahontan Water Board. To answer your first question, that application was taken out in 2009, and we are speaking to violations of the cease and desist order that was issued approximately 2 years later, or 2.5 years later, in 2011. And so our presentation and analysis is based upon those violation of that cease and desist order. And that's why it's not necessarily taken into consideration. To answer your earlier question of when was the notice of violation actually served, looking at the files, it was delivered on and signed for via certified mail on July 17th, 2007, or 2013.
So how many days after?
We dated it July 1st, so 16
no,
days.
July 3rd.
Or July, July 3rd?
July 3rd was the date of the letter?
Okay.
So
14 days. 14 days, 2 days.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any testimony from the discharger? Hearing none. Do we have presentation from any other interested persons? Okay. So in that case, I will close the hearing, and the board will adjourn into closed session to deliberate. And we'll go to a deliberate.
Do we want to do the two hearings first and then deliberate in closed session about this together, or?
It would be more efficient to do that.
Okay, item number 15, which is a public hearing for consideration of an administrative civil liability order for Gary and Jean Ormachea for violating a cease and desist order in Spalding Tract subdivision in Lassen County. Do we have a PowerPoint or a PowerPoint?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
While she's handing that out, I'll continue reading the statement. This is the time and place for the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, Mahant Region, to consider adopting a administrative civil liability order listed in the board's agenda as item number 15. The board will proceed with a separate hearing on this item. The order of the presentation will be as follows. First, testimony from the Water Board prosecution team, followed by testimony from the discharger, and then an opportunity for presentations by interested persons. All persons who wish to participate and have not yet submitted one of these orange cards, appearance cards, please do so now. This hearing will not be conducted according to the technical rules of evidence. The board will accept any testimony that is reasonably relevant to the matter under consideration. The chair may impose reasonable time limits and may require groups to choose a single spokesperson. We ask anyone testifying to come to the lectern to speak, and please begin by stating your name, address, and who you represent. All persons who wish to testify, please stand and raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony which you will give in this matter is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
So with that, we will have testimony from the prosecution team. Thank you.
Again, before I go any further, I'd like to have entered into the record the Lahontan Water Board files referenced in the board agenda package for this item, the prosecution team's presentation that is to follow. It's going to sound like an echo in here because much of the presentation is borrowed from the last, so please bear with me.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning again, board members, ladies and gentlemen. Lisa Scarelli, an engineering geologist with your Enforcement of Special Projects Unit, and I have taken the oath. I'm here today to talk about the proposed administrative civil liability for Gary and Jean Ormachea, former owners of Lassen County Assessor's Parcel Number 077254-2011 in the Spalding Tract community at Eagle Lake. This is an overview of the topics I'll be discussing again today. I'll start with history regarding Spalding Tract and the Lahontan Basin Plan prohibition for the Eagle Lake Basin. I'll briefly go over the evidence of violation and the Water Board's progressive enforcement efforts, attempting to bring the former property owners into compliance with the Basin Plan prohibition. I'll then discuss the ACL complaint issued to the Ormachias and methodology used to determine the proposed liability, and last, staff's recommendation to the board. The Spalding Tract subdivision is located on the west side of the lake, approximately 20 miles northwest of Susanville.
Actually, I'm wondering if we can go straight to the calculation of the proposed amount. I mean, do we need to hear all the preliminary stuff?
Does it need to be entered into the
Well, the specific evidence and circumstances portion?
That, yes.
Yes, so maybe the evidence of violation. Go to slide 9.
Okay.
Slide 9.
Or
thank
to
you.
Slide 8.
Slide 8.
Start with slide 8. Lisa.
Okay, I will. So again, there are several facts staff's asking you to consider when making your decision today. The district system's been operational since 2007. Ormachias have had ample time and notice to comply. They've now had 6 complete construction seasons to bring the property into compliance. In our notices, we've informed them of the potential and imminent consequences of continued non-compliance. Now, as you're likely aware, based upon what has been submitted, there are some additional facts and issues unique to this case. The key issue in this case is the ownership change that occurred shortly after the complaint was issued. All other things being equal, the board has adopted ACL orders for Spalding Tract residents that failed to comply with their cease and desist orders. But in those cases, the residents still own their properties when they came before the board at the hearing. The prosecution team believes that the ACL is warranted in this case, and that is why we have continued to pursue it and bring it before you today. Some additional details to consider when making your decision. The complaint was issued on November 19th and was served upon Mrs. Ormachia on November 22nd. On November 25th, staff was contacted by the Ormachia's realtor, who informed us that the property was in escrow and would close any day. This is the first communication we have received from either the Ormachias or anyone representing them. Staff inquired whether the septic system on the property was being brought into compliance prior to the sale. We were told that it was not. 2 days later, on the 27th, we received notification that the property had closed escrow. Now, in the past, staff did not pursue administrative civil liabilities against Spalding Tract residents named in cease and desist orders that had sold their property without complying, provided the property sale was completed prior to staff initiating the ACL process. However, in this case, the complaint had already been issued prior to the property sale and prior to staff's knowledge of a pending sale. Staff has always said that one of the primary objectives of its enforcement efforts is compliance. It is also our objective to achieve compliance using the lowest effective enforcement action. It is likely we could have avoided today's proceedings with some communication and cooperation in response to the July 2013 notice of violation. We did so with 9 of the 11 other non-compliant owners that received notices of violation in July. However, we did not with the Ormachias. It's unclear why, given the opportunities that have been provided. However, statements provided by Mr. Ormachia may provide some insight. Mr. Ormachia states that when he received the cease and desist order, he thought he was complying by not using the property. However, the cease and desist order clearly states what must be done to achieve compliance, which is either connect to the district system or abandon per Lassen County regulations. Avoiding use isn't one of them. Additionally, receiving the July 13 notice of violation should have been another strong indicator to Mr. Ormachia that he was not in compliance with the cease and desist order. The notice of violation also clearly states three different times what must be done to comply with the CDO to avoid an ACL complaint. No response. Instead, Mr. Ormachi indicates in his recent statements that he was under the impression that his obligation to comply and exposure to liability would cease if he sold the property. Unfortunately, Mr. Ormachia's source of information on this issue was not us. If I was being threatened with a fine, and I would make direct contact with the source of the threat and not rely upon others, as was reportedly the situation in this case. So was the property sale a strategy to avoid compliance and its cost? Possibly, but we do not know, and we do not know the details of the property sale. We've been told that the new owners are obligated to bring the property into compliance, but we do not know if property owners have been compensated for compliance costs. Some final details. Recently, Water Board staff was contacted by Cindy Gonzalez, the Ormachia's daughter. Ms. Gonzalez stated that her parents have been divorced for many years, no longer own the property, and should not be fined. Staff told Ms. Gonzalez that although the time had lapsed to do so, per the hearing procedures in this matter, we would not object to their submitting a statement outlining the reasons why they believe a fine should not be imposed. Mr. Ormachi has subsequently provided a statement and other documents which have been given to you. So those are essentially the background details in this particular case. I'm trying to avoid repetition here.
Go ahead and just run it out.
Bear with me for just a minute. So essentially the proposed liability amount in this case is the same as was applied in the Johnson matter, and amounted to the reduced violation period of 122 days at $25 per day, or one quarter of the $12,000 amount calculated using the statutory minimum amount of $100 per day. This liability amount falls well below the statutory minimum of $72,200 for this case. However, the complaint and the proposed order include express findings supporting the reasons for doing so as required by the Water Code. This slide shows steps 8 through 10 of the policy. Again, the policy requires that the board consider the economic benefit of noncompliance. Gerald Horner, State Board Economist, calculated the economic benefit of delayed connection of the septic system on the property to the community wastewater system. And again, that was included in attachment E to the complaint. Mr. Horner recalculated the economic benefit to incorporate the November 27, 2013 date of sale of the property and today's date as the date of payment, rather than 30 days from today as was applied in the original economic benefit determination. These changes yielded a slightly lower economic benefit of $508 for the delayed cost to connect, and thus an economic benefit plus 10% of $559. Should you adopt an order today, these would need to be edited in attachment A of the proposed order. Again, your authority is by Water Code Section 13350, and we provided the rationale in the complaint and the proposed order to justify a liability less than the statutory minimum, and those findings are expressed as required in the draft or the proposed order. Therefore, the Water Board has the authority to impose the recommended liability. Thank you. Again, we've seen how our NOVs expressing our intent to issue ACL complaints become very effective since the ACL orders were adopted for Spalding Tract property owners in 2012. A total of 11 NOVs were issued for 12 properties in July 2013. 9 property owners responded to those last chance to comply NOVs with cooperation and compliance. The Ormachias owned one of the only 2 properties that were not brought into compliance in response to the notices of violation. Cooperation and compliance are what we're looking for in response to our enforcement efforts. We did not see either of these in this case. Again, we understand there are extenuating circumstances and compliance is not always easy in a lot of these situations. However, it wasn't easy for the other 600 plus owners either. Out of fairness to them and to assist your staff in efficiently bringing the remaining non-compliant property owners into compliance, the prosecution team is asking that some amount of liability be imposed. We recommend the liability amount be $3,050. And again, this concludes my presentation, so I'll leave you with this slide, again showing the prior Eagle Lake ACL actions for you to consider while you evaluate this, yet again, challenging situation. The prosecution team is available to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
And thank you for editing on the fly. I know that that's a challenge. Mr. Jardine, Ms. Cox?
I know this process has been going on far beyond my young tenure on the board. Just thinking back, as a general manager of a CFD, I would have looked to instruments like a CFD, the Community Facilities District, as a community-wide assessment district, in order to install this without relying on, you know, the circumstances and individual compliance. It would have been a much more effective tool than being left with the stick. It would be more of a carrot approach, which is always my preference of come let us reason together and find an acceptable solution. So I know that's definitely water under the bridge, but if we ever come across a situation like this, hopefully guidance can be given to look at some of these more sophisticated mechanisms to accomplish the end result and save, you know, all of these hours and hours of professional expertise on this when a CFD would have solved this from the beginning.
Where were you 3 years ago?
Yeah, I think there was a carrot at one time, and I'll let Lori speak to that.
Dr. Murray and Kimberly, Mrs. Cox, I was around in 1985, so I was here after the board adopted the prohibition. That I want to just give you a little bit of history of how this happened is that there were about 900 property owners in the Spalding Tract and Stone's Vanguard. In 1984, this board adopted a prohibition on the discharge of waste from septic systems. At the time, it was during the Clean Water Grant program the state board had, and there was lots of free money being given. In fact, this community was eligible for 97.5% grant funding to install a sewer system. So the board's action to adopt the prohibition was a stick, but with the intention that it would put them as a high priority for grant funding. Subsequent to the 1984 adoption, I was hired in February of 85, and we conducted a number of sampling events. People have individual wells on very small parcels, and so we collected bacteria data, and we found that people's drinking water was being contaminated by their own septic system discharges. In 20% of the wells we sampled, we found bacteria, and every time we went out, we found 20% of the wells had bacteria contamination, different wells based on occupancy, and that placed this community on the highest priority for clean water grant funding. The community, based on our prohibition, did form a community services district at that time and applied for that money. They failed to garner enough support to adopt an assessment to pay for the 3.5% that they would have been obligated to pay. They denied that, and they rejected their offer of clean water grant funds. That was in the 90s. So that was why, or it was probably, actually it was in the late 80s, so that was why this board adopted 900 individual cease and desist orders on property owners, because the Community Services District was unable to pursue this objective on their own. So those individual orders inspired the community and all the individual residents to actually find other funding mechanisms to build the sewer system. What ended up happening was that Stones Vanguard, they went on a separate track because they had a developer that owned vacant land between two tracks, and he paid for a collection system to benefit all the existing property owners in Stones Vanguard. So the reason the penalties were assigned those two individuals in 1997 was because Stones built their community sewer system ahead of Spalding Track, primarily because of private funding and private contractors that were able to install the community sewer system. At Spalding, it was a much more difficult road for them to get support. We went to a lot of public meetings for over the years to encourage the community to support the Community Service District building a sewer system, and lined evaporation ponds is what they have for their disposal. They have high evaporation rates, so it's an effective means of disposal. So at Spalding, it happened later, and I think Lisa said that that system's been in place for about 6 years, almost 7 years now. So it was another decade of having to work with that district to get the community behind them. So now we're really just dealing with the final remaining individuals that have been difficult to contact, maybe because they're not using their properties and they live, you know, great distances or, you know, from the area. So those are the final collection of folks that we are trying to get in compliance.
It's very unfortunate history.
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Maybe in a minute, okay. If that's okay. Mr. Sandel, do you have any?
No, I don't have any.
Do I have any questions? So, advisory team, do you have any questions?
Yes, I do have a question. From the prosecution team, yes. Do you know what the economic benefit would be or if you would revise it based on the close of the escrow that was recorded on November
27, 2013? Yeah, that's exactly what I went through on step 8, economic benefit. We recalculated, or excuse me, Gerald Horner, State Board Economist, recalculated that, and those delayed costs to connect are based on the close of escrow date being November 27.
Thank you. I wanted that verified.
I have a couple of questions for you. So, similarly, the NOB in July, that was served personally?
In 2013?
Yes.
Yes, that was served, again, by process server, and the date was July 28th, 2013.
And then who was it served to?
It was served upon the former Mrs. Jean Ormagia.
Okay. And then the 122 days, what is that from?
That was based on the date of the letter, which was July 3rd, through the date of drafting of the complaints, which was November 1st, 2015.
Okay.
Any other questions for the prosecution team? Mr. Ormagia, and could you instruct me on how to pronounce your name properly? I'm pronouncing it phonetically, which is different from how Mrs.
Ormagia is fine. Question. You said it was in July there that she signed for something. She told me she signed for something on the 22nd of November. Is that correct?
Oh, that was...
That would have been...
She signed for
complaint.
Something else?
Yes. There were two documents that we had served upon her. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I never heard of the other one, and I've only heard of this one here, and I've never been served. But that's why I was asking you. I never heard of the July 3rd one, okay. That's something new to me.
Yeah.
Like I said, we don't speak very well, my daughter or my ex-wife and I. So
Just to clarify, July 3rd, 2013, we issued a notice of violation of the cease and desist order, the 2011 cease and desist order.
And she signed this?
Yes, it was personally served upon her, as was the complaint in...
I think it's in November 22nd.
November 22nd, yes, was the complaint was served.
Yeah, I think she turned that over to me in December, right near Christmas, or when everything was closed and the checks were mailed.
County records on this property only list one mailing address for this parcel, and that happened to be, we didn't know it, but the former Mrs. Ormachia. And that's where everything went until we heard from Mr. Ormachia's realtor and were provided with alternative addresses and email addresses.
So just state your name for the record.
Gary Ormachia. Fine. A lot of people can't pronounce it sometimes. They can. And my mouth is a little dry here, so I was going
to
get some water before I started.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to give just a quick thing.
Is there a working microphone perhaps we can provide?
It does work. It just people have chosen to not use it. I'd be happy to turn it on.
I thought it was broken.
No,
it
is
not. It
was gear splitting last night. It was not cooperative.
Okay.
Quick. I have four daughters. And we use the property, I think we bought it in about 79. And I was going through divorce. And we spent some time at the lake. And I put a trailer on it, and I thought as the kids grew older, they would come back to it. Well, my ex-wife, she joined Allison Trails, so they never came back to my property, or to our property. It was actually going to be the girls of my property. That's the way it was set up. So, in 2004, I put that, I didn't know when it was, I just contacted the electric company just a few days ago, and they sent me this letter when we had the electricity turned off, and I think it was in 2004. I had prostate cancer. Well, I had an accident in 2002 on Highway 80. I was rear-ended. Cars were stopped, and I was rear-ended. I had neck injury. And I had just been informed that I had prostate cancer. So I was coming back from UC Davis back to Sioux Falls. I got rear-ended. The kids, like I said, were not involved at all in the property. Didn't want to be involved in the property. Didn't want to go to the property. So, 2004, I was still recovering from the prostate cancer, and I just shut the water off. I was paying a water bill, and we wasn't using it at all. Nobody had used the property at all since prior to 2002. So I was paying an electric bill. So I had received none of this notification on the cease and desist. I heard talk of it out there, of the cease and desist order. And I didn't know anything about it as far as us going to be fined or anything like that. 3 or 4 years ago, I went to the county and I asked him when it was, because I quit paying taxes. When it went through, I quit paying taxes on the property. And I went up to the county and I said, when are you just going to take the property over? And she said, why don't you try to sell it? They probably won't do it for 2 or 3 more years. Or maybe longer. Apparently, the one they were just talking about, he offered to give the property back, and it failed to sell. Well, there's so many pieces of property out there that's failing to sell right now. I go over by, and my realtor says, well, we can get 40-some thousand. I sold it for 20. And I said, out of that, we pay back all the taxes. I said, I have everything caught up. That was a $25 assessment fee for the sewer. I said, I want, and I think that's not only in one of the papers that I sent to you. So I went to go back to the realtor. I tried to sell it after she told me that, why don't you try to sell it? So we started. He started at $49,000. And he just said, I said, just drop it until we can sell it. And Lisa said, maybe it was just to try to avoid the penalties. I had no idea of penalties. I knew that my daughters would not go out there. I have 13 grandchildren. They weren't going out there. And I definitely wasn't going to go out there. I had no reason to go out there anymore. I bought the place for the children. I bought it for the grandchildren. I bought it for the future. And apparently that didn't work very well. I wish I wouldn't have bought it at all. So I told Mr. Beckett to sell it for whatever and tell the people that they would be responsible for hooking up and doing this septic system, and they agreed because I lowered it so much on the property. After we paid the taxes, I think we come out with $5,000 apiece. U.S. That's a sparse scrape from $72,000 and even from $3,500. We each come out with $5,000. Wow. I only lost several thousand on that deal. My children will lose in the future, I guess. But I turned the property over to Mr. Beckett, the realtor, in 2011. And that's in the letter that I sent and gave to the board. And he took... I should have had it outlined here. He took the board member, Mr. Gallagher it was, to the property and showed him what had to be done on the septic and where they would hook up and what they would do. This is a new owner, and it's listed on some of the paperwork also that I've sent in. I think I also sent in a piece of paper that shows what the property sold for and where all the money went. The back taxes was $6,800 more than I got, which is okay. I just wanted to get rid of the property. It wasn't to avoid this. I knew nothing of this here. My ex brought this over to me after this had closed, after the new owners had taken over. And then I find out that, gee whiz, we're not going to get $5,000 apiece. They're going to sit there and hit us for something else. And I'm just going, and I knew nothing about it. She brought the paperwork over to me, and I read it on the $3,000. And I had my daughter look at it, and she said there was going to be a meeting here, and she couldn't come. She's a better spokesman than I am, for sure. It's hard for me to be in front of people. I have a heart problem, huh? And I just, like I said, with turning off the water, I thought that pretty well complied. And turn off electricity, which turns off the water, which turns off everything. Everything is frozen broke out there. It was frozen broke. And that's the way it was sold, that he's going to have to fix everything. So he's not running no water right now. I just talked to the electric company when they sent me this here, and they said that he hasn't went in there and applied to put it in his name yet. And he said, they're not too worried about during the winter time because he's not going to be out there this winter. And Mr. Beckett said that he was going to do it in March or April, when weather permitting, do the septic, have it hooked up, and he'll be paying the fees from now on, $25 a month, I believe it is, and then he's going to pay the taxes in the future. I cut everything up, and I told Mr. Beckett, the realtor, I said, everything will be paid before we get any of the money. I said, I want it taken out of what we're going to get, so we will be caught up, and the new owners won't have anything hanging over their head. And that's what he did. Not only that, he took the officer of the water system over there, Mr. Chris Gallagher, and he showed him where the septic was at. Because I went out there, I left everything. I left it furnished. I left everything on the property. I didn't want anything. Was I trying to ditch out on this? No. Didn't even know about this. So, but Mr. Gallagher said that he had notified the Lahontan board. Now, this is some time ago. This is way prior to this here. Soon after October 3rd, I went to the Spalding Community Service District, and he went with Mr. Gallagher to show him the property, ask if he would sit there and notify. And I think it was Virginia, is her name, receptionist, contacted her, and she had said that she had contacted the board here. The board says, Lisa says, no. They never contacted us that this was an escrow going to be sold. Neither Gallagher or Virginia. They both said they had. Now, Mr. Beckett volunteered to come here today, and I said, no, I don't think you have to drive over here. I said, can you just write something? Because he said he had records. And he looked them up, and then he sat there and faxed me this paper here. And I thought, what more can I do? But because I didn't know this information, that I was in non-compliance, I went to the county. I was ready to give them the property.
Where were your tax bills being sent?
I'm sorry?
Where were the tax bills being sent?
I don't know. I know I went up to the county and paid them early.
So the property was still in Bolton?
Oh, I didn't pay the taxes on that property. I went up and paid the one in Lake Forest. That's where I live. And I have a little lot in town. It's worth nothing. Almost.
Well, so you divorced in 1979, you said, or somewhere?
Yeah, it was in that area. 78.
But then the property stayed in both of your names. You never.
I never took it out. Even the property, the trailer that I live in, I just never took her name.
So was your wife paying the taxes during that time period? Because
no, she's never. You mean at the lake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the Spalding property.
She's never paid any
of
the taxes.
So who was getting the tax bills, or how were the bills?
She might have been getting them. I know I paid them. I went up to before because one time I paid a penalty years ago. And then I just go up there in November, and I'd sit there and pay them ahead of time. But I'd say I'm not paying the ones at the lake.
So did anyone have your address, your current address?
Apparently not. I never got any. I did have a 691-355 Lost Plymouth Way, and my neighbor took my mailbox down, and it was down below, sent down below for a bit, and then my daughter and I had a dispute. So I didn't collect any of the mail from her. Then I had another daughter at 756 Bay Heights Drive, living in Biscayne Gulf, and that's why we've been receiving my mail this day. She takes care of all my bills and stuff for me. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where I get my mail now. I don't get no mail in Susanville. Because of hell, I'm generally down here. Anything that comes up, she calls me. If I'm up in Susanville or if I'm down below, she'll give me a call and say, hey, you got this here to take care of. You got this bill to take care of. So, like on the vehicles and stuff like that, she receives all that. So anyway, I think if there was any other question?
Nope, that's it.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Anybody? Tommy's out?
You have a question? Won't be able to.
on the chat. Do you recall roughly when you put your house on the market for sale?
Well, it was, he said he listed the property July 25th, 2011. I was trying to sell it before then myself. And I went to him, apparently, because I had to ask him when I first put it on. I know we renewed it once or twice, because it was only like for so many months. Then come winter, nothing sells out there. Then they'd want a renewal, and I'd say, you bet, you got your renewal. So he'd send it to me, and I'd get to sign it, send it back to him.
And the second follow-up question, you mentioned in your presentation you had said this.
I have a hard time. I think your speaker has to be up a little bit.
All right. You mentioned in your presentation that you had submitted some information to us regarding your house sale and other things. I just was checking. I have not seen that. I didn't know if you had.
You mean my house in Susanville?
No, I'm just following up on what I thought you had said earlier regarding submitting some documents and. I don't think we received those.
Right, we do not have all of the documents that you submitted. In fact, I will give you a copy of what we've received.
Okay.
And you can tell us if there's things that are missing.
I have. Oh, I'll wait till you get back. That's all of them.
This is, so I'm going to ask if this is everything that we've received.
Yeah, that's what my ex gave me this one here. I think I have that. Is that it here?
Yes.
Copy.
And then we received this letter.
Okay. Yeah,
that's your daughter sent.
Okay, I wrote that, okay. Yes. And there's the information in
and
there.
And then we received another email from your daughter transmitting
the electric bill?
The electric bill, which was very hard to read.
Okay.
And these Lassen Municipal Utility District bills, I believe, sent to the Single Tree Lane Susanville addressed solely to you.
Yeah, that was my one daughter's address that moved away.
Okay.
From Susanville.
And then
that's where my daughter's live, you know. But that was not my permanent address.
Okay.
She collected my mail at that time.
Okay, and then the last one that we received was another email from your daughter that was from your realtor, just stating his recollection of what happened.
So, okay.
Yes.
And that was dated February 7th.
Yeah,
if you don't have a copy, you can.
No, I do. I do have a copy here.
Okay.
That's when I sent them.
Okay.
Are there
other documents?
No, that's other than I don't think I have listed in there my 756 address, which it would have been on the title company right here. Kelsey, our title company, sent me the letter here. 756 Bay Heights Drive. That's my other daughter's address. And it says Jean Renner on it also, but she lives at 3710 or something like that.
Comanche
Parkway.
And I own it.
And I own it. This is in gold. So this is my mailing address. Because I had to change all DMV for mailing and residence addresses in Susanville. I live in Susanville up in the Forest.
Okay.
Not Eagle Lake, Lake Forest Estate, something just right on top of 5 miles.
Okay.
So that's a subdivision.
I think I can maybe speak to this and clarify a little bit. As I said in the presentation, November 25th was the first time we heard from anybody involved with this property, the Armachias or any of their representatives. And that was the date that his realtor, Frank Beckett of Smith Properties, called me and told me about the pending sale. I had a discussion with him, told him, you know, it would have been nice if we'd been contacted to be notified that all this was going on. I asked him if he could notify me when the sale was completed. And he said he would do so. 2 days later, I received, I believe it was an email from him that the sale had been completed and closed escrow, November 27th. And on that date, the information that was provided to me from the realtor in an email was the name of the new owners, and I believe their address, phone number, contact information, and the name of the escrow officer. So I contacted the escrow officer and asked her if I could receive the deed. And she then forwarded me the grant deed, and that is in our files. And then I have a couple of emails to the prosecution team that documented the phone calls that I had with Mr. Beckett, and the things I just explained to you now. Not all of those things, I'm not sure the reason, but not all of the things were supplied to you. We submitted to you what was directly provided by Mr. Ormachia's daughter, the letter from Mr. Ormachia, Scott's summary discussion email that described his conversation with the daughter and those communications. And then we subsequently received, as you know, the electric bill or whatever that was. And so those items were provided to you. I have the file here with me, and we do have the grant deed that documents that the sale occurred on November 27th.
Any question? It says, I asked Mr. Gallagher if he could notify the Lahontan Water Board, and he said he would. The next week, I called the SD office and talked to the receptionist, and that must be Virginia. I asked her if the Lahontan Water Board had been sent out a notification to Mr. Ormachia. She said she did not know. I asked her if she would notify the Lahontan. This must be the Lahontan Water Board, okay? That's any sale of Mr. Ormachia. And she said that she had been to the Lahontan Water Board and office and had informed them of the sale. Now, we're referring to the local board, correct?
This district operates the community wastewater system there. Mm-hmm. It's a separate entity from the Lahontan Water Board. What he's referring to is she did visit this office and appeared before you in October?
October.
She was here for the cease and desist orders that were presented. And that was the time frame that apparently, and I can't speak for the district, but that was apparently the time frame that they were supposed to have contacted us. She came to this meeting, did not mention at that time anything about the sale. We were obviously at that time dealing with the CDOs, not the ACL complaints.
Because she said she did notify the board in Virginia, and also Mr. Gallagher said he notified the Lahontan Water Board. And neither one had notified the water board of the pending sale, and it had been an escrow. And this was prior to the letter being sent to me. And here's on November 19th, Kelsey, our title company, when it seemed like it was strange. It was on the November 19th, this letter, and the letter being sent. This letter here, the fine was sent on the same day that the title company was sending me an escrow letter. I think we pretty well, I think I've covered as much as I can.
Did you want to
is there any questions?
No, I think. Or did you have a follow-up question?
I have a follow-up question for the prosecution team.
Okay. So, you want to do that now?
Sure, I'll do that now.
Okay, so I think.
I don't have any questions for you, Mr. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Oh, there's.
Yes.
So,
You mentioned, Ms. Corrali, that you received the new owner's information. So my question is, have you contacted the new owner and confirmed that they do understand that they need to comply? And if so, are they planning to comply?
I made numerous attempts to reach the new owners to confirm the information that we were being told. And I did have a phone number, an address, and I made repeated phone calls to that phone number and got no answer and had no ability to leave a message. And then I looked online and found another phone number for them, whitepages.com or something. And that phone number, I also dialed numerous times attempting to leave a message there. I believe the message machine said the machine is full and dialed them. So no, I have not been able to successfully contact the new owners. We've drafted a notice of violation to them, and that has been provided to my supervisor, but it has not been sent.
Thank you.
I think Mr. Beckett said they were on vacation. I didn't know when he was coming back, but the plan was to sit there and get the system in, like I said, in either March or April. It's weather permitting. And I don't think they're looking to come up during the winter. They live in Stockton. Is that where you're trying to go? In Stockton?
Yes.
Because I never tried to get a hold of
them. You're from the Community Service District, right?
Yes.
Technically, we need a little orange card.
No, I don't.
State your name and get the orange card for me later.
Okay.
He's actually our witness.
He's our witness.
Oh.
I'm Chris Gallagher. I'm the general manager of the Community Services District, and it's at 502-907 Mahogany Way in Susanville. Just to clarify some of the information that Mr. Ormachia was talking about, I actually met with Frank Beckin on October the 7th, and it was to go over that property. He was going to show me where the existing septic tank was. They had some questions about where they could put a septic tank. And at the time, he told me that he thought he was getting an offer on that particular piece of property. There was nothing that was solid at the time. In fact, in going back over our emails, the first time that we found out that it was in escrow was November the 19th. And then we got a phone call from Frank on, I think it's the same date, November the 27th, saying they were surprised that they were still responsible for the ACL from the water board. And so those are kind of the dates of progression that occurred. There was no talk at the time about that property being in escrow, me contacting Lahontan. In fact, I told him, I said, it's probably a good idea if you get a hold of Lahontan and let them know that this is going on. So I told them nothing about that I was going to contact Lahontan and let them know that it was a sale, because there wasn't at the time. And I was going to answer Ms. Cox's question earlier about what we had done to try to put the carrot there. And I've been the general manager there since December of 2009. And we get together with our community and with various functions, pancake breakfasts, and I send out newsletters almost quarterly. And almost every time in our newsletter, we put a blurb in there about, you know, you need to get connected. You know, we had the cease and desist way back when, and now we're 6 years down the road and you're still not connected. You need to get connected. And in fact, on a pretty regular basis, we have people coming into our office complaining about those people who aren't connected. They said, what are you going to do about those people? And we said, we can't do anything about them not being connected. You know, it's up to Lahontan to take that action. But, you know, when you have six people or 600 people that have connected, and you have these 10 or 15 that are hanging out there, these people that connected are going, okay, when is something going to happen? Because we did this 3 or 4 years ago and had to pay for it, and now we're paying the operation and maintenance on an annual basis, and these people aren't even connected. So, you know, those are some of the questions we get as a community services district, and if you've been involved in that, you probably have heard the same. So.
Any questions? Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Question?
Oh, you have a question?
Well, of course. You said the first time you talked with him, you did when you went to look at the property, and he was going to show you where the septic would go. Why would he take you there to show you if it wasn't?
Because he said he was going to get an offer. He thought he was going to get an offer.
Here it says, to walk the property with me to discuss a possible location for the new septic that the buyer will have installed. Told Mr. Gallagher that the property was in escrow. Now, this isn't me writing this. This
right.
is him. Mr. Gallagher responded by saying that it was good that Ormachia was selling the property because the Lahontan Water Board was going to levy a penalty for noncompliance. This comment led me to believe that the sale would have a positive result because the new owner intended to install new septic. So that sounds like it wasn't just a possible person that was out there, maybe a buyer. It sounded like that he had a buyer and they was intended to sit there and put the septic in by what he, the way he wrote this here. It seemed like I should have had him come because he wrote this and sent it to me.
It would have been helpful. Huh? It would have been helpful for us to have been able to ask some questions.
Apparently it would have been. I did not think it was going to be a problem. I didn't think it was going to be a denial, which is okay. But without him here to sit there and testify, I didn't think he would need to testify in this here. And also Virginia said that she had notified the board. Is Virginia also saying that she did not notify the board? The Lahontan board?
The first that I know
does
that,
she
we,
work
that
for
we
you?
Were, yes, she does. And like I said, the first that we were notified that it was in escrow was November the 19th. And in fact, that was saying that it was supposed to close on December the 1st.
And this was back in October?
October 7th is when I went and walked the property with him. And he said he was going to be getting an offer. And so that sounds to me like the person's not a buyer yet if you're getting an offer.
I think we have as clear a picture as is possible.
Thank you.
So thank everyone for their testimony. So at this point, I'm going to close the hearing, and the board will go into a small room and deliberate, and we'll be back. Going to say, call back into session. Oh,
yeah.
So the board is coming out of closed session. We're back in open session now. And I can report the decision in item number 15 regarding the Ormachias. And our decision here is to fine the Ormachias $559. Oops. We're going to explain more for that. So, more than that.
So the changes that we made to the order reflect the economic benefit amount that Lisa said that was recalculated based on the escrow date. And so we went through and made changes to the order and attachment A. So I'm trying to find where those are for you. So we kept the same numbers, the maximum and minimum. In finding 19 on balance in light of the considerations outlined in step 7.
Why isn't this way above that?
Finding the lower penalty of 559 is appropriate. In 20, I noted that the complaint had 533, but it was recalculated to the date the sale went through, and then plus 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want me to go through the changes in attachment A2? Or no? Okay.
Assuming they're the same.
Yes, they are the same.
Okay. So now we vote on that?
I would move that order. I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion is carried. Are there any against? Any against?
No.
Okay. So, unanimous. And then, so, you've heard your decision.
I heard it.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, and thank you very much for driving up here. We really appreciate the effort you made.
If it was going to be heard or not, what I had to say.
We listen.
Because that's a lot different, man. Now, will you bill us, can you split that and bill her half and me half?
Well, that's beyond our pay scale. You will be informed somehow.
You will be informed. You do have my new address, correct? Address?
Yeah, we got an address in Galt from your...
I'm sorry?
We got an address in Galt from Frank Beckett.
Okay.
If that's the current one, then we...
It's in
have,
Galt. 756 Bay Heights? Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Okay. And then you'll send... You'll give me a bill for it. I'll definitely pay my half.
I'm not sure on that yet.
No, I think you are joint and severally liable, so...
True.
So someone has to pay. Someone has to pay the total amount.
Well, as long as she knows that she's on there, also.
Yeah,
she
has a
card. Have to check. So.
Okay. Sounds
yeah,
good.
It'll be paid.
Okay.
But you'll notify me.
Yes.
And we could send it to that other address too. We'll send it to both addresses. We can send it to the Ione address also.
Fine. That would
and
be great.
Her number,
yeah.
Her address too. This is important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks. We will do that.
All right.
And thank the board for listening. I appreciate that a whole lot. I wish we still had the property. I wish my children used it.
Yes. Our interest is bringing it into compliance. You know, we don't feel good about
right.
it.
Right. Well, like I said, I hope the new owners enjoy it. I really do. That's what I told Frank when we talked to him. Tell him I hope they enjoy it. Because we did for when we first got it.
Right.
Enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Safe travels home.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then regarding item 14, you want to bring it up? Item 14? No? No? Okay. Our decision, I guess, yeah, there isn't really anything to bring up on item 14. Our decision on item 14 is to postpone our decision. But the penalty is of $3,050. It's out there, and it could go up. That Mr. Johnson has another opportunity to come into compliance with the date of May 30th, 2014.
Okay.
And that we will rehear this item in July, and at that time make a decision. If he has come into compliance, you know, that'll take into consideration. If he has not, we'll take that into consideration. So the fine could go up or down depending on what happens between now and May 30th. Okay.
Thank you.
Did I miss anything?
Okay.
So all board members in favor of, do I hear a motion?
Do we need a motion?
We need a motion.
Like I move that we continue item number 14 until our July meeting.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Carried. Motion carried. And with that, we have no closed session. With that, additional closed session. And with that, the February meeting of the Lahontan Board is adjourned.